Live from the Smallwood Arts and Culture Center in Gander, Newfoundland and Labrador, it's the Vinyl Cafe with Stuart McLean.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm as happy to be here as you are. I was born at the edge of the age of aviation, the era of airlines and airships, jet planes and rockets. The astonishment of flight defined my boyhood. And I've come here to Gander today to answer an echo from those faraway days. Because of all the reasons to come to Gander, and I'm sure there are many, I came to see your airport. That means, though we have barely met, you and I barely know each other, we do have something in common, because everyone in this little theater today is here because of the Gander Airport. Gander's the only town I know of that was built as a result of an airport. Everywhere else, things happen the other way around. Everywhere else, the town came first. But that's not what happened here. They carved the Gander Airport out of the Newfoundland forest before there was a town here, or even close to here. The airport came in the 30s. The town came two decades later. Gander's a substantial little town. There is a Canadian Tire here. And a grocery store as well stocked as the ones in the city where I live, and a Tim Hortons, of course. But no one would ever say Gander is a big city. The local phone book fills less than 20 pages. Town's still a chin-up away from 10,000 people. Yet there was a time when the Gander Airport was the largest airport in the world. Bigger than LaGuardia, bigger than Idlewild. Bigger than Gatwick and Heathrow, and arguably more important than any of them. The runways at the Gander Airport are so big it is still one of the alternate landing sites for the space shuttle. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. I should back up a bit. I should begin where any storyteller worth his salt begins. I should begin at the beginning. How about 1937? This was the middle of nowhere in 1937. And then, suddenly, mile 213 on the Trans Island Railway, which is where we are, just a milepost in the wilderness in the middle of a rock in the middle of the ocean, which doesn't sound like a spot to build anything, let alone the largest airport in the world. Suddenly, mile 213 found itself precisely in the middle of the world, right at the crossroads. Because it suddenly mattered that mile 213 was right at the sweet spot of the great circle route from the eastern seaboard of North America to the coast of Europe. If you draw a straight line from New York to London, you go right over Gander. And in 1938 and 48 and 58, if you wanted to fly along that line, you needed a place to put down to refuel. So with an eye to the future, they carved runways out of the woods. And then, almost as if it was planned, the war came along. So they made the runways longer. It's hard to overstate the importance of the Gander Airport to the war effort. The Allies would have won World War II without the Gander Airport, but the war was shorter because of it. During World War II, 20,000 Canadian and American-built fighters and heavy bombers were brought here to Gander and flown, ferried, they called it, across the Atlantic to the United Kingdom. At the beginning of the war, they were shipping planes over by sea and losing as much as 80% of the shipments to German U-boats. No one believed they could fly them over. They didn't have the range. But they hadn't counted on the engineers who modified the fuel tanks, or the bush pilots, the crop dusters, and the barnstormers who flew the planes, often by dead reckoning. The first flight of seven Lockheed Hudsons left on November the 10th in 1940. And what a story that was. There was only one real navigator among the seven pilots, so instructions were kept simple. If we get separated, they were told, head for England. Well, they hit weather, and they did get separated. And some went up, and some went down, and all seven made it. By the end of the war, planes flying out of Gander were guarding convoys, ferreting out submarines, and, of course, being ferried to England. Not tens, but hundreds of planes every week. And then, when the war was over, the airport, your airport, was right at the epicenter of civilian flight. If you were flying east, say from Paris to LA, you might stop at Cairo, Constantinople, or Karachi. You might even overnight at the world-famous Raffles Hotel in Singapore. Sounds romantic, doesn't it? But wait, if you were flying from New York to London, you got to put down in Gander. Virtually every plane that flew across the Atlantic stopped in Gander. In 1956, which was the heyday of it all, approximately 150 international flights put down at the Gander Airport every single day. And something remarkable happened. Someone, somewhere, realized that the International Transit Lounge at the Gander International Airport probably would be the only impression of Canada that thousands of people ever had. And if Canada was going to make a good impression, this was her only chance. So they decided they better make an impression. And to do that, they decided to build a showcase. They commissioned a lounge to end all lounges, with a geometric terrazzo floor from Italy, sleek mid-century modern furniture from the Uber design house Herman Miller, and a stunning 72-foot mural, an ode to flight, painted on site. The artist Kenneth Lockhead from the prairies used over 500 dozen eggs to temper his paint. It was a remarkable room, an avant-garde snapshot of the future when it was designed and appointed, and today, a glorious snapshot of the past. Because what is most remarkable of all is that the Gander Airport International Lounge has remained virtually untouched for 50 years. The New York Times Style magazine was impressed enough to commission a feature about the lounge some years ago. And in the glowing essay, they quoted Alan C. Elder, curator of the Canadian Museum of Civilization, who said the lounge is, and I'm quoting him now from the magazine, the lounge is, quote, one of the most beautiful and most important modernist rooms in the country, maybe the most important room. And we're talking about the Gander, Newfoundland, and Labrador airport here, in case you just tuned in. And in case you think Elder might have taken leave of his senses, I'm here to say I don't think he did. I spent an afternoon at the airport this week, and here's what I can add. I think the lounge is one of the most remarkable rooms I have ever been in Canada. Every bit as glorious as some of the grand railway hotels and railway stations this country's known for, and in better shape than most. When you're there, it feels like they closed the doors in 1959 and only reopened them yesterday. What a place, and what a history. Because if every plane that crossed the Atlantic put down here, so did every person. Oh, sure, said Cynthia Goodyear, who I met in the airport restaurant, and who has worked there at various jobs for 27 years. Oh, sure, said Cynthia with a shrug. I've served all the presidents, from Ronald Reagan to George W. Bush. And the heck with the presidents, Cynthia has made tea for the Queen. That's right, she said. But she turned the tea down. She asked for coffee instead. Cream, no sugar. Just about everyone in town has a story like this. That's true, said Marilyn Stuckless, who was a teenager the day Fidel Castro came through town and went tobogganing for the first and probably only time of his life. There was a bunch of us on the hill opposite the Hotel Gander, said Marilyn, and these men came along. They were more tan than us, that's for sure. And excited, too, they told us it was the first time they'd ever seen snow. Someone told me that when Fidel went down the hill on his borrowed toboggan, he had a cigar in his mouth. I don't remember a cigar, said Marilyn, but that was a long time ago. The list of people who went through the lounge reads like a social register of the 20th century. Everyone thinks the Beatles' first stop in North America was New York City. Uh-uh, boy. Their first stop was in Gander. Who else has been through? Well, Jackie O stopped here, and so did Frank Sinatra, Winston Churchill, Marlene Dietrich, Richard Nixon, Richard Burton, Elizabeth Taylor, Ingrid Bergman, Julia Roberts, Tom Cruise, John Travolta, who still comes regularly on his own plane, and Humphrey Bogart, and Bob Hope, and Woody Allen, and Bruce Willis, Demi Moore, Rod Stewart, Clint Eastwood. I don't know why I'm telling you all this. You probably know them all personally yourself. Well, I know a lot of them personally, said Cynthia. Elizabeth Taylor always calls ahead and asks for our homemade bread. Vicente Fox orders two plates of lasagna. Bill Clinton loves our muffins, said the man standing beside Cynthia. I saw him stuff a few in his pocket on his way out. Well, the Gander International Airport is not as busy as it once was. A lot of the flights that land these days are private flights, corporate planes. These days there are, what, maybe 5 scheduled flights landing here every day? As for the international flights, well, today's jets don't need to refuel on their way across the Atlantic. 11 international flights put down in Gander this month, down slightly from the 150 a day. These days, the flights that do stop are often unscheduled, but it doesn't seem to matter. When they do arrive, phones start ringing around town, and in this world where customer service is often an automated voice message, people here in Gander tumble out of bed in the middle of the night and open up the gift shop and staff the restaurant and the duty-free. They stand by, ready to serve. They are still rolling out the red carpet to people from all over the world here in Gander, and they roll it out at any hour of the day and night, which is how it all began, isn't it? That's what it was like during the war and during the early days of transatlantic flight and on September 11th, 2001, when almost 40 planes landed out of the blue and everyone was cared for. We like to see ourselves as a nation that welcomes others. Well, that's what you do here, and you've been doing it for years. And that's why we are here today. Thanks for having us, and thanks for making us feel so welcome.